Not Grant Woods on guitar.
Hey, no, no. Scott Kazer on guitar there. All right, we're here. Steve Plossum in the house.
Back with you. Glad to be with you.
Mark Cordes back from his gig.
Back from travels abroad.
Yep.
Where did you go?
Where was I last week?
Dallas.
I was in Tucson.
Oh, Tucson.
I was in Tucson.
Week.
Condolences.
Yeah, the trailer park with the mayor. I was in Dallas this Saturday.
Wow.
Oh, no. What were you doing in Tucson?
A little comedy club action.
Oh, nice.
A little club I had avoided for 10 years, but now the economy being what it is, I'm like,
gosh, I love Tucson.
Wow.
Good to be back.
Yes.
You're that desperate now, huh?
Old Pueblo.
How was it?
Boy, you know what? I love where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to love it, go down there.
Yeah.
As a joke one night, I said, yeah, I live in Scottsdale, which is way down Swan. You know? And they looked at me like I was an idiot. Well, I am, but I mean, it's
right.
Like, dude, that's another city. Well, it's going to be one of these crowds.
Really?
Yeah, but then I was, you know, hey, the check cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got hurt.
That's the old Waylon Jennings song. I'd sure love to be in Texas, boys, but I'd settle for El Paso. So I don't know if you want to throw Tucson in there. But
wow.
Bob Brindley used to say he spent 5 years there in March.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just tried a case twice down there last year, so I spent a lot of time there. And it was a little different experience because previously I always thought Tucson was great because I was either at the university, which is great, or I was in the foothills.
Beautiful.
Which is beautiful, the Catalinas. Right. And this time I was in the rest of Tucson. And it's great if you need a taco and a burrito. There's like one on every single corner. There's Mexican food. And that's about all I eat. But even I was sick of it after a while.
Now, the comedy club's at the corner of Drive-By and Crack Pipe. right where they intersect. So it was...
wow.
I had to get security to get my car.
What were you doing in Dallas?
I did a little gig for the Aviation Electronics Association Saturday night.
Oh, wow. Those are high flyers.
A bunch of... Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of people that... Yeah, but
you know,
where were you when I needed
you? I don't
know.
Sorry.
But speaking of which, I just heard something. Did you hear about the Cessna that's been hijacked?
Yeah, it came across the Canadian border, and we've got F-16s and other stuff flying.
It's flying over Wisconsin right now.
Yeah.
With fighter jets.
Wisconsin.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. Yeah,
a Cessna?
Yeah. It's
how much risk could it be?
Well, you never know.
They'd be crash like
into a building.
Right?
You could crash into a building.
Well, they're in Wisconsin.
Right.
So, you know, they could crash into Milwaukee and do hundreds of dollars worth of damage. I guess that's
ouch.
No.
How many cities are we going to insult today?
Well,
Milwaukee, Tucson, Dallas.
No. Both lovely places.
You'd
yes.
pick Tucson, though, to live, though, wouldn't you? Over Milwaukee.
Oh, of course.
God.
No, Tucson's got a lot of great spots.
The women in Wisconsin.
Are beautiful.
They are?
No.
By
no,
and large, not. They are, by and large.
Good from far from good.
Yeah. I have a theory on gals from the Midwest and the Upper
Easy.
Midwest. No, I do.
From?
I think that they don't pay as much attention to their figures year-round because they don't have to.
Right.
Because they're covered up most of the time. And if you live out here, you live in California... you know, people know if you put on the extra 20.
Yeah.
But there, you got coats on and baggy clothes all the time.
You've never spent a winter back in the Midwest, have you?
No.
You don't
never
want
will.
To. It's horrible.
It's not
going to
happen.
Yeah. Beer and cheese are a food group.
Well, you know, it's like people always go, you know, it had to be great to have a white Christmas. I say, forget the white Christmas. We had white Halloweens and white Easters, too.
White Mother's Day, man. That sucks.
It's snowing today in St. Louis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the White Sox game, I know, is snowed out today.
Oh, God.
Sox got
what
rained
a joke.
Out.
It's that global warming.
Yeah.
Which they don't even call it that anymore, which is genius. That's the genius of Al Gore.
But
it's climate change.
That major ice shelf from Antarctica about to break loose.
Yeah.
You don't believe in global warming?
No, but you know, did you
I
see?
I just love the way they've couched this debate by calling it something.
Did you see the article in the New York Times magazine a week ago? I think it was a magazine, or in the newspaper anyway, on Sunday. I forget the guy's name, but like one of the great scientists in the world. Did you see this thing? And he's no conservative. I think he's fairly liberal, actually, on most things. But he's a scientist. He's a guy who has impeccable credentials. And he is now just getting creamed by his fellow scientists because he is saying this is pretty much bunk. And so when you're going around Al Gore and saying the scientific community is unanimous on this, they're not. And nobody can discount this guy because he is He's just a guy that you can't discount. It'd be like on the economics or on the stock market, you're going to discount Warren Buffett if he says X. You can say he's wrong. He may be wrong. Mm-hmm. But this guy has studied the whole thing. He goes, he takes it argument by argument, and he says it's bunk. Now, so this was, he was particularly critical of Al Gore, actually. So that was interesting because until him, I hadn't really seen a real prominent voice who was saying, no, everything he says can be explained otherwise. And in fact, I don't think the Earth is warming unnaturally. I think it's just a natural deal that's going on here. Well, so that was interesting to read. And they don't know what to do with him. So a couple of them are blasting him, and then the other colleagues are going, well, you can't really blast this guy. I mean, you can say he's wrong. But
yeah, if you look at the Oregon petition, it's like 3,000 and growing scientists. And the guy that started the Weather Channel. Yeah, I mean, the guy that's like a weather geek is saying, no, it's a natural thing and we have nothing to do with
which
it.
Which goes back to McCain's point in the campaign, which I thought was a good one, and that is, well, why not do all these things anyway? The environmentally sensitive things.
Yeah.
And so let's say this is bunk and turns out to be bunk. Well, we did a lot of good anyway.
Yeah. There is no harm.
There's no harm in doing it, so let's
just
do it.
Well, except if it wrecks the economy with cap and trade.
Cap and trade would be one thing you would be fearful of, I would think. Yeah.
But, you know, the state of California just funded I think it was through the Pacific Institute, a survey of what is going to happen. And they are projecting the ocean level along California to rise 5 feet by 2100. And they are very seriously concerned about that because it is going to destroy some of the coastal areas, especially up in the Bay Area, which tends to be a little bit, you know, lower level. And they're looking right now at what the infrastructure is going to happen and the homes that are going to be lost and things like that. Because whether you believe in it or not, if there are people telling you it is going to happen, you at least have to take a look.
Oh, sure.
Because if they don't...
And it could happen for other reasons, too. It could just happen.
Yeah. But, I mean, that large ice shelf in Antarctica that's about to break away where the video was there this weekend, it's like, it's amazing. Right. Something is happening. When you look at the photos from 1970 and where they are now with the ice sheets in the Arctic, the Antarctic, Greenland, and so on, the difference is stunning.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's interesting. I recommend it to people. I guess maybe we did put it on the website. I can't remember. If people aren't looking on the website, when you listen to the podcast, you think, okay, I'm going to the website, and I kind of glance around it and do some things, and then I don't go back to it for a week. One thing you should know is that we do update on a daily basis the reads on the website. So
right, and we blog on there and stuff like that.
We blog. There should be different content, different videos, things like that. Should be different stuff on there. Every day.
And people can read what you think about Felipe Lopez and Tony Clark.
Wow.
That's coming up. Yes, it is.
Wow.
It's coming up.
I hope you blogged about that because that was good.
I didn't blog about it, but I know they heard. They heard about that. And are we going to go right into that? Is that what you want to do? No,
you're
early
them.
On that. You're early on that.
Sorry, didn't know.
Yeah.
It was a website. It was a tag for the website.
Yeah, not on the website. Anyway. and so I'm...
Oh, is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Time to do the show.
Twitter. I got Twitter. Do you know who
Twittered you?
Well, let's look. You want to know?
I do.
Jane Fonda.
No.
Yeah, she's a big Twitterer. Comparing this
that she
well.
Is.
I called her that 20 years ago.
Wow.
She has a nice...
Twitter.
Used to anyway.
Hey, Barbarella. Nice tweet.
That's what I thought.
Come on, be clinical. It's a Twitterus.
Oh my God.
You are rude. Well, no, actually, she's very interesting. I followed a couple of people. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do that. So if you don't know how to do it, then you're probably not going to figure it out anyway. So just, you're on your own on that.
Go to the website.
It's not that hard. Yeah.
And what's the new one now? Flickr?
I don't know.
There's a new one starting up now,
but,
too.
I've followed a couple of people I was moderately interested in, and I've had to stop following a couple of them because they are such prolific. They're really into
it. They Twitter on.
Yeah, you want to hear, like, you know, once a day would be plenty for most people, you know.
Maybe you should be able to sign up and say, I want once a day tweets instead of, you know.
No, you can't.
Every time you want
no,
to tweet
me. They have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Demi Moore, I had to cancel her out because, she was Twittering, like, nonstop. I would say maybe 10 times a day.
Oof.
And it was you know, I wonder about some of these people. Like, we talked about this before, John McCain.
Like,
I don't believe.
He's not really.
I do not believe John McCain has done one Twitter. That's bullshit. I don't care what he says.
Calling you out, John.
He can say he's doing it. I don't believe it for a million years.
I saw some video of him with the thumbs going.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that said it all.
There was a setup.
He might have done one, yeah, for the cameras.
For the photo op,
yeah. There's no way. I don't believe that. But she was obviously doing her own. It would be like, okay, I'm sitting at home. I'm watching this movie. Here's what it's about, blah, 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 stuff like that. Erykah Badu.
Yeah,
I thought I'm a fan of hers. I thought that'll be good, and she's got a really weird. Let me see if I can get it. She's got a weird name on there, and I'd forgotten that I signed up for her. And so this morning, it's kind of like it's a prank thing almost. It's so gross. Okay, let me see here. I'm gonna tell you what her name is. It's like Fat Butt or Fat Belly.
Bad.
Here it is, Fat Belly Bella.
Bad tweet name.
I may be black, I may be ugly, but I'm here. Okay. 1 minute later, I'm a cold front happening to your surprise. 1 minute later.
Just say no.
A bunch of crap like that. Me and you, us, never part, my key, da-da. I have no idea what she's talking about.
Yeah. Well, my life is complete.
On Twitter.
But Jane Fonda is interesting. She's in this play, 33 Variations. And in the last week, once she said, hey, Ted's going to be here tonight. I'm thinking about just taking my entire top off during the show just to freak him out.
Can you Twitter her back and say, please don't?
People did. Yeah. And they said, well, I wouldn't do it. And she thought about it. And then she later says, well, I decided not to do it. I knew I wouldn't. Then she said, James Taylor's going to be here tonight. I'm really nervous. And then later she said, well, James Taylor didn't show up, but... Mike Nichols and Diane Sawyer were here. And then Carol King showed up one night. She came backstage. She talks about that. So that's kind of interesting.
That's interesting.
How old is she now? What, 60?
Jane Fonda?
85. Yeah, 60.
Oh, she's up 70s. There. Late 60s.
Is she in her 70s now?
I think she's hit 70.
She looks good.
Yeah, she looks fantastic. I saw her.
That much work?
I saw her live.
She looked fantastic. My gosh.
We'll all be there someday.
No, but she's, you know, she's the big exerciser. Obviously, yeah. She's taking good care of herself. Yeah. Give her credit, yeah.
And she's a good actress.
We have a little problem here. Let's get Jeff Munn on the line here as we discuss this.
Money?
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. How are you all?
Hey, we're doing good. We got Steve Klassen, Kerry Dozier, Mark Cordes here. I know you all these
the
folks.
The whole gang's here. Hey, Grant, before we get started, I have a note here from Derek Hall.
Here we go.
That's it.
What does it say?
Well, he was in kind of a hurry, so he was scribbling some things down to hand. He knew I was going to be on the show, mm-hmm. And it was just something, if I can read this scribbling correctly, how do Lopez and Clark look to you now?
Okay. He's already violated our deal.
Okay. What deal?
Our deal was...
we have no deal.
Let's recap. Yes, we do, and I confirmed it. I saw him Saturday night. I confirmed it. Our deal was, my point on Felipe Lopez was that with all the big signings around, you know, the Yankees have like five big signings, and the Dodgers re-sign Manny, and they sign O-Dog and all that. Our big signing was Felipe Lopez, and that, you know, that just doesn't inspire a lot of, hey, let's go get season tickets, I didn't think. Now, having said that, I understand the Felipe Lopez because he has a shot at being good, even though he hasn't been good for quite a while. So I could handle that, but our deal was, okay, I'm going to turn into the world's biggest Felipe Lopez fan. I will yell, he's leading off, I'm going to yell for him every time. I do not want to get dogged if Felipe Lopez has a good year because I am now his biggest fan, okay? Having said that, Tony Clark is another story. And I did say, I'm on the record. I cannot believe Tony Clark is even on the team. I did not want to see him bat. And so, with that, I'm going to tell you, Jeff, I brought it along here. This is an amazing thing. So, folks, if you haven't heard what happened in the game, we're taping on Monday night. I went to the game today. Just think if you had gone on the air and dogged, in a way, a little bit of a dog on Felipe Lopez and a big dog on Tony Clark. And then I went to my email. I brought up Yahoo. And here's what it says on Yahoo. This is the lead in sports. There's a picture of
Felipe Lopez. There's a picture of Tony Clark. What are the odds? This is for the whole country. This isn't like the Arizona version. Two Arizona teammates accomplish a first in the history of MLB opening days. Rare baseball feat. Do you believe that? Hitters combined for opening day record. You know what the record was?
I do, yeah.
Tell
it was they are the first pair of teammates in Major League history. This is kind of a long record.
Yeah.
To hit home runs from both sides of the plate on opening day. Now, they're the first ones to do it in a game since 2000.
2000, yeah.
Posada and Williams did it for the Yankees in 2000.
From both sides of the plate. Now, if you would have told me Tony Clark was going to hit two home runs and one from the right side, oh, my God.
It's like an eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah, is that unbelievable, though, after dogging him?
Well,
there's their picture on Yahoo.
Yeah, well, let this be a lesson to you, Grant. The next time you have yourself convinced that the big-time athletic stars in this town are not listening to your show, guess again.
Well, I
because they obviously heard last week, I can guarantee you.
Well, I got to dog somebody else and we can get them going. Who looked crummy today?
Why don't you start criticizing the Suns' defense? Maybe that would help.
That's coming up. That's coming up. I will say, when we grant the Woody today, that names will be named there that you may have hit upon who won, but I have to say it was a close finish for the Woody between the Suns and myself
because
I made a late run at getting the award myself here.
Somehow I have a feeling you lost out on that deal.
I did lose only because I'm the one who chooses. But
that's exactly how you see.
Unbelievable. And Felipe Lopez, not only that. How about that?
His
first two at-bats, right? Was that his first two at-bats?
No,
he grounded out in the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
Unfriggin' believable.
That's right.
Well, I won't say anything negative about him, but there was a negative there. O-Dog would have turned that double play in the first inning. That little bit of slowness there.
Oh,
but
boy.
I am all for Flo-Dog. I think Flo-Dog is he's the man. He's our leadoff guy. He's our second baseman. For Flo Dog. How did O-Dog do on the Dodgers in there? I made him turn
it off,
Jeff.
I know he had at least one hit. I was listening to the game on the way home, and I know he picked up at least one base hit. The Dodgers jumped out to an early lead, and I have not
peeked
at my computer in the
they
last
won.
Hour.
But you know what hacks me off? I mean, I hate the Dodgers so much. I always have because, growing up here, that's the only thing you could listen to on the radio was the stupid Dodgers and the great Vin Scully. And he says,
now, Jeff Munn could be Vin Scully.
Yes.
Very, very good.
So the thing that makes me even madder about the Dodgers is, first, they went and got Louie. So and it's hard to, how do you root against them when Louie's there? So thank God they got rid of him. And then they get O-Dog, another great guy, So, but that's okay. We'll take care of them. How about that, though? If you would have said before today's game that, B. Webb's on the mound, here's our ace, we're going to give up 8 runs, and the only way we'll win is if Felipe Lopez and Tony Clark hit 2 home runs apiece.
I'd say the whole day was goofy.
It was goofy, yeah.
Brandon looked a little sloppy, didn't you think, Jeff? Not quite precise.
Well, yeah, I there's been a lot of theories thrown out in just a couple hours after the game ended as to what exactly is wrong with Brandon Webb, and obviously a lot of people are already a little jumpy on the fact that he did not have a very strong spring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smart enough to be able to look at a pitcher and say, there's a mechanical flaw.
Right.
I'm not terribly certain what it is, and I don't know if one start with something on the line is really a good way to evaluate it or judge it. Goes on, if we get into late April and he's still struggling to get people out, then you can start raising some red flags.
Absolutely. Not yet. Who knows? I mean, big deal. It's one game and that's not fair to say, what's wrong with Brandon Webb? There isn't, who knows? He had a bad game. Guys have bad games. It's a long
season. Aaron Cook, for that matter, is Colorado's ace, and he wasn't exactly Cy Young today either.
God, he got creamed. That was unbelievable. The whole game was unbelievable. We had 5 home runs. Yeah, we
did. 5 home runs in the game. Tracy got the game winner in the 7th.
That was great.
That was huge.
The one thing about the game that I thought, it just kind of piqued my curiosity before the game, and I'm really still kind of chewing on it, I don't remember a season opener where both managers were setting up their opening day, you know, run out the lineup, and this is, boy, all the pomp and circumstance, that they set up their lineups based strictly on matchups.
Yeah, they did.
You had Tracy and Clark out there today, in large part because of their numbers against Aaron Cook.
Right.
Colorado went with a lineup that had Brad Hopp just owns Brandon Webb. And it usually opening day is a day that you just say, this is our, you know, in a best-case scenario, this is our starting eight, and these are the guys we went out there taking the bows during the introductions. Mark Reynolds and Justin Upton sat today.
Yeah, that must have been weird for them to, you know, because especially when you do the big introductions, because now our starting lineup, and they're already standing out there like dopes, you know.
Right.
Having said that, Jeff, last year, as I recall, we finished two games out. So, you know what? They all count.
Yeah, they do, and you have to plan that way.
Yeah, let's try to
win.
That
was Bob. You know, a lot of people in the media were trying to really read into Bob Melvin's decision and say, oh, you know, Mark Reynolds, Justin Upton, they're riding the bench. No. Something's really wrong. No, it was just simply that Tracy and Clark had better numbers against Cook.
Sure, we needed more lefties in the lineup, and, you know, so it worked. I think that's great. Put the best guys on the field at all times. I hate when you got a guy who's got a big contract or big ego or something like that, and even though he can't hit a guy, you don't set him down. You just take the outs. That's no good. So good for Melvin that he did that. Now, let me ask you a question here on that.
Sure.
There's a lot of plus sides here. We got two lefties here. I never could figure out why Slayton is still on the team, since I personally probably see at least 50 games a year in person. I see almost every one, I think, one way or the other, or listen to him. I can't remember him getting anyone out. Has he got anyone out?
Cy Young Award winner this year.
I'm trying to inspire him. And then we got this other guy now who's a lefty who I heard nothing but bad things about, and he came in and looked like hell today. He coughed up a long homer. So what's the deal with our lefties? Can we not get a good lefty?
First of all, as you know, in baseball, if you can throw left-handed, it doesn't matter what your numbers are. You'll pitch till you're 50.
It's like being a 7-foot white guy in the NBA.
Well, and
you got a job.
The other thing is, Slayton has had some stretches where he's been very effective.
In high school?
What's that?
Was that in high school?
No.
I heard he was great in high school.
Last year.
Oh, I missed
that. The other thing is,
I was out of the country.
He did have some really rough numbers at the start of spring, and they made it a mechanical adjustment. Oh. They're having him throw a little bit more three-quarter than over the top, and they feel like that's going to straighten out a lot of the problems that he had. The other guy, Scott Schoenweiss, actually had a very strong year for the Mets, but he had a very bad outing in the last weekend of the regular season when, like 2007, they basically collapsed in the last weekend and missed out on the playoffs. And you know how it is in New York.
Yeah.
They only remember what you did, what have you done for me lately? And despite having a very strong year going after left-handed hitters and being able to get right-handers out pretty consistently, the only thing they remember was the last weekend of the regular season.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, he had a bad outing today.
Yeah, well, you know, and you're right. He did have a bad outing. Thank goodness. But the good news
is... We kept coming back today. It was amazing.
Yeah, and when they got it to Tony Pena...
Yeah, he's great.
And he came on with one out in the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
He gets an inning and a third of work in, picks up the win, a couple of strikeouts, and Qualls had a very quiet...
Qualls look good. I like Qualls.
He had a very good...
I think Qualls has got, he doesn't have that overpowering stuff, but he's got the closer's mentality, so I think he's okay. Okay.
Well, he keeps the ball down.
Yeah, he does, exactly.
He's
it's nice to have a ground
pitcher.
Ball hitter or pitcher there at the end, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, if you're going to have a closer that does not just blow the ball by people, he better keep
balls.
The ball down.
Absolutely. Well, okay, I'm going to get your predictions here. Let's start with the American League East. Who's going to win?
It's very hard to look past the Yankees, but I've never been a huge fan of teams that try to bring in a bunch of people all at once and try to make it work.
Yeah, that's always the Yankees.
Well, and that is the Yankees' way of doing things. They have tremendous talent. It's funny, they also, CeCe Sabathia got kicked around pretty good today in Baltimore.
Oh.
It's too bad.
I like the Rays. I still like the Rays because to me, pitching wins.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what it's all about, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you follow baseball, it's amazing. It's not that difficult. Let's just make our point here locally. Diamondbacks won the World Series in 2001.
Correct.
Who did we have?
Yeah, we had an unbelievable.
Randy and Kirk.
Thank you.
Well,
it's pitching.
It's pitching.
That's why we could be there this year because, today notwithstanding.
I certainly think so.
Yeah, we got a great lineup. I think a great starting five. I'm counting Scherzer. He could be great.
Oh, he's got electric stuff, he's going to be your fifth starter, and he's not really what your prototypical fifth starter because his stuff is so good that if he was, if it wasn't for the fact that there are two All-Stars in the one and two spots in this rotation,
he'd be getting
a lot more attention.
Absolutely. Okay, how about American League West?
It's got to be the Angels. I know a lot of people are kind of murmuring about Oakland. But they ran out Dallas Braden as their opening night starter. I mean, there just isn't, to go back to the same subject, there just isn't enough pitching there.
Yeah.
And I really think, a lot of people are also making comments about how they should be better because they got Matt Holliday, which is all well and good. But I'm here to tell you that if that team is not in contention at the trade deadline, Matt Holliday will be an ex-Oakland Athletic, and you can go to the bank on it because Billy Beane's not going
to
sit around and watch
a group of
high-priced players languish around in second or third place with no chance at the postseason. So
yeah, that's a good point, yep.
They'll go get another group of young players for Holliday in a deadline deal.
Okay, American League Central.
This is a tough one to pick, and I'm going to go with Cleveland because I think they have the best balance pitching, hitting, the way they handle themselves in the field. Obviously the White Sox have got it's funny, we just saw them over the weekend.
Yeah.
And you start looking at their numbers and you think, wow, they got Tomei and they got Quentin and this kid Alexi Ramirez is batting down eighth in the order. The only thing that concerns me about the White Sox is that they're starting a kid, Dwayne Wise, in the leadoff spot. He must have tried 10 times to lay down a bunt in the two exhibition games against the Diamondbacks and could not do it. He kept popping up and popping up. And I thought to myself, this is the guy that you've anointed as your leadoff hitter. I don't see American League, and maybe they don't need.
Well,
but anyway.
He's no Felipe Lopez.
No.
We know that. Okay, what about National League East?
National League East. Boy, the Mets, I have a feeling this thing's going to be much the way it's been the last couple of years. I think the Mets are going to be really good for a long time.
Choke at the end.
And the Phillies will get them at the end. Although, I think the one difference, I really do think the Braves will be a lot better. And I think the Marlins, who were pretty good last year, I think they've got a chance to be a little bit better themselves. I think, Washington, bless their hearts. I mean, they're trying, but they're a ways away. But I think that at the end, it's the Phillies. They're much better. For a couple of years, their reputation was try to outscore everybody and outmuscle everybody with as many three-run homers you can get. But that team's got better pitching than a lot of people realize.
Absolutely. Okay, what about National League Central?
Well, if it's not the Cubs, I'd be shocked.
I think it'll be
there are a couple of teams that could make it kind of fun, the Cardinals, if everything broke the right way. And you hate to, with Tony La Russa at the helm, they've always got a chance.
He's great. Okay, what about...
And a lot of people are very excited about Cincinnati.
Oh, please. They're going to be terrible. They always are.
Here's the two things. Well, they've got two very good young starters in Cueto and Volquez. Harang had a miserable year in terms of one-loss record last year. But his ERA was pretty solid. And he's lost a little bit of weight, and I think, the combination of things. He ended up going 5 1/3 today, but only gave up a run. To me, I mean, it's they're not going to contend. They could finish over 500. I just don't see how anybody catches the Cubs.
Yeah, I don't either. They are loaded.
Excuse me for interrupting. I watched the Reds game today in a restaurant. Did you see the first pinch hitter of the year for the Reds?
No.
Micah Owings.
No.
Really?
Came in and whiffed.
Here we go again. Oh, God.
And it was like.
They got it. You know what?
Worst thing ever happened to him.
Yep.
One of the more heartbreaking sequences for the Diamondbacks last year was Micah coming up in that game on a Saturday night in September and getting the game winner on a two-run pinch double.
Yeah.
But the Reds, when they made that deal, our thought was, and in talking to their people, they said the same thing, that they kind of envisioned Owings as a reliever.
Really?
And which would automatically just completely rule out him ever grabbing a bat. I think they're at a point now where they've got to make up their minds. What do they have?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have a...
I think Owings, I mean, his abilities with the bat, I think, has hurt his pitching. You know,
yeah.
I just think
you
got to choose. And he's, you know, I remember I always hated when we put him in as a pinch hitter myself because, you know, I always thought, well, if I'm one of the guys who could be pinch hitting on
you're
the bench
pissed.
And you're putting a pitcher in ahead of me, because he's a great hitter for a pitcher. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And I know he had his moments, but I just let the kid pitch, you know. I mean, he could have good stuff, you would think.
It's got to be one or the other.
That's
either
what
they
I
make
think,
him into either make him into Rick Ankiel,
yeah,
or just he pitches and that's it, and
that's
he doesn't
it.
Grab a bat on his off days.
No,
well, it's kind
I
of fun in a
that.
17 inning game when you're screwing around, but
oh yeah, but not. I mean, we put him in a couple key situations last year. I hated that. Okay, National League West, big question here. Who's
okay.
it going to be?
Well, I do. Who do I work for?
just say the Diamondbacks, because we all want it to be the Diamondbacks. And
well, yeah, we want it to
be
the Diamondbacks because we all believe in Felipe Lopez and Tony Clark.
That's right.
I do believe in Felipe Lopez.
Amen, brother.
I'll tell you what, though. Here's
if
two
Tony,
things about
if it's on Tony Clark, it's going to be the Dodgers.
Wow.
Well,
and then the Giants.
Here's two things about this division. Everybody, I was in Trenton, New Jersey last weekend.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Wow, that's life in the fast lane.
Lose a bat.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well,
that sounds great.
The Garden State. Oh, yeah.
They have in the local paper there, they have this crusty old columnist who has all the answers, and he's given his baseball predictions.
Montini?
No.
I forget the guy's name.
Okay.
But he said, National League West, Dodgers in a runaway. And I'm reading this.
No
this
way.
Is about the 50th time I've read this, and I think, what am I missing here? Look
we
at
have a much
pitching.
Better rotation. Yeah, pitching
yeah,
is where they
fall
down.
They started Hiroki Kuroda tonight in San Diego.
Right.
And I'm look. I mean, that's
how about Wolf? Isn't Wolf in their starting rotation?
Wolf's in the rotation.
Give me a break.
Billingsley's coming back off a broken ankle.
Barbara
Clayton
Billingsley.
Kershaw has a great. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw's got
Nick
a great
Kershaw.
Curveball, but he's. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's never been in a real heat of being at the top of a rotation.
Yeah.
Their bullpen, Jonathan Broxton has got great stuff,
right.
but there's an awful lot of questions about whether or not he can really handle the pressure of closing out games.
He probably
and that's
can.
A team that, and supposedly that's a team everybody likes to win the division.
Well, but you know, you're right. Their pitching is their problem. But I think the reason everybody likes them is to look at their first eight, and it's pretty strong.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to look at an offense that has a Manny Ramirez, an Andre Ethier, Matt Kemp, James Loney. You throw in Orlando Hudson into that mix.
Russell Martin.
Right. And the one thing that
who
that
can't
will,
hit? Who can't hit in that lineup? I mean, they're all great. Sick.
The one thing that will help out their pitching is, and this is a big if, because you're talking about two players in Furcal and Hudson who have not been able to stay healthy the
Furcal's
last year.
Furcal's going to go out. He's going out.
But if they manage to get through the entire season healthy, they'll make their pitching better because they'll gobble up everything that they can get their hands on. I just, to me, I at the end of the day, you have to be able to pitch. For that reason, I was I had come back from a little road trip with my basketball team, those battling ASU Sun Devils, after the Elite Eight of the women's tournament.
Oh, you were with the women. Yeah, they had a great run.
Yes, they did. And I got back from a trip to Nebraska about the time Randy Johnson signed with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I told my lovely wife, I had gotten home that night, and she said, what do you think about RJ signing with the Giants? And I said to her, I said, I wouldn't be the least bit shocked if a year from now we were having a conversation about how the Giants shocked the world. Because if you look at their rotation, Lincecum,
they've got pitching.
Oh, 1, 2, 3.
If it's all about pitching, you take Diamondbacks and Giants over the Dodgers.
Matt Cain cannot be as bad as he was last year.
Right.
The only thing about Cain is the last 2 years he's thrown 200 innings each of those last 2 years. So you wonder a little bit about his durability, if he can do that again. But what are you asking Johnson and Zito to do? You're asking them to win
10 games.
12 games each.
Yeah, sure.
And I think, you know what? I think
they
Randy's got one more season of that left in his left arm.
I do too.
And they also went out and signed two veteran setup guys Bobby Howry and Jeremy Affeldt to get it to Brian Wilson, who is the best closer that nobody's ever heard of. The guy saved 40 games last year. Yeah. And this is a Giants team that didn't win much more than 40.
Yeah.
So, to me...
Great songwriter, too.
Yeah, he was. Trout True.
He's a little hang-up. He's kind of an odd
one hang-up on the Giants, I will tell you, is that obviously their offense is very limited.
It's weak.
But they've got a couple of kids. It's really funny. People will talk all the time about how the Giants don't have a farm system. Mm-hmm. Well, look at all the kids that they've been bringing up the last couple of years. And this kid, Pablo Sandoval, I'm telling you, he's a star waiting to happen. He's he's very much like a Vlad Guerrero in that he swings at everything, but no matter how far out of the strike zone it is, he gets a hold of it and he drives it somewhere.
That's rough. We don't need that.
No, but I really do think that the team that will gum up the works in the National League West will be the Giants.
All right. Okay, you're on the record here. Okay, this is your last question. We're going to go to basketball. Forget the Suns. We're going to get to them in a second. But you're Mr. ASU. Is Grady, a.k.a. James Harden, is he going to go out? Is he going to go to the NBA?
I'm with the women's team.
I know, but you don't know?
I'm not close enough to what those guys are doing.
What do you think? Should he go out?
No. I was not. I like a lot of people. I was a bit concerned with his performance in the NCAA tournament, especially in the game against Syracuse.
He already declared for the NBA. That's why he didn't go to the tournament.
Yeah.
That's what we heard.
But in all honesty, I mean, can you think of anything bad outside of an injury?
That's the whole thing. It's injury. I just don't know. I don't know that much about his background, but I don't think he's like a rich kid or anything. And he's going to be a millionaire, later this year. If he goes to the NBA, and he hasn't proven that he can play in the NBA. I don't think there's any question about that. But if he gets injured next year, then what does he do? Then you're out. It's like a pitcher. I think you got to go when you got the chance, even if it's a little early. I hate to say it. It's just this is life.
I agree with you. And I
hope he doesn't. But
I hope he doesn't too, because I think they've got a chance even without Jeff Pendergraft next year.
True.
If he were to return, you're still looking at a core of some pretty good basketball.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
I would think that they have a chance to at least get back to the NCAAs if Harden was around. But you're right. I mean, in this day and age, the kids like James Harden make their decisions based on, can I make the $1 million right now?
Can't blame him.
I can't blame him either.
Because I mentioned this last week, and I know you remember this. Johnny Nash. At Arizona State.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
supposed to be great, and he had that freak, leg break, and that was it. It was over.
He came back, and so
what if that happened? You say, well, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it could happen. What if it happens and he's out?
Yeah, that is, it's interesting you bring that up, Grant. That's probably the poster child for all of these kids that are making these decisions.
Johnny Nash was as good as James Harden, in my view.
You think about that team that he played on.
Oh, my God.
How many of those guys ended up in the NBA?
All of them.
Except five of them.
Sam Williams did.
He was
Memphis,
the only one
Scott,
that didn't get there.
Paul Williams.
Yep.
Everybody, yeah. And he didn't get there, and I think he was maybe our best player.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Certainly one of them. He would have gone. All right, Jeff Munn, you're the man. We appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll be listening to you on the radio, and when you slip over on the TV side, we'll be watching.
I appreciate it. I'm going to get down there in studio some night, I promise.
That would be great. Okay,
awesome.
We'll look
thanks,
forward to
Jeff.
It. Okay, thanks,
Jeff. Talk to y'all soon.
Okay, Jeff Munn, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, should we finish our sports theme now?
Best PA voice,
sure.
By the way.
Jeff absolutely.
Munn, oh, absolutely.
In the history of the world.
PA voice meaning in the arena?
In the house.
Since we're here at Skyview Studios.
Jeff Scott's really good. Yeah.
I understand that.
I'd say it's
Scott
kind of a tie.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
I know. When the Olympics came to L.A. or wherever they were.
Atlanta,
they called Jeff.
Yes. Well, yeah, okay.
They're both very talented, creative, great guys.
Okay, let's see who else we can offend. Are you ready for this? by the way, we are drinking Michelob Ultra tonight.
Ooh.
Drink of champions.
Where would that come from?
like from Hensley and Company, our sponsors. And we had a little powwow, and we thought, you know, the least we could do is support your sponsors.
We urge you to support them, but while you're not, we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so. I'm not drinking beer due to the fact that I drank a lot of Bud Lights yesterday.
You did. Very good. Okay. Mark, you got to get with the program here.
Yeah, I used up all my drink tickets.
I hope it was recently.
Oh, no.
Long time
and
ago.
Another one of our sponsors was at the game today, at opening day. Dan Marley.
Thunder Dan.
Came all the way back, flew back from Dallas in that fantastic game, and went to opening day to support his Diamondbacks.
Cutest, he's a big Phoenix Diamondback son ever.
Cutest Phoenix son ever. Is, truly. You say Dan Marley?
Oh.
Here's the trivia.
He's got it all. Though.
Really?
Come on, Miguel Knight. Come on.
Okay.
He's Thunder Dan Marley, right?
How about cutest in the NBA ever? Chris Kaman?
What?
Wow. Yeah,
Chris Kaman.
Wow.
No, you don't think so?
Wow.
He's cute. No?
How about
Dennis Rodman?
Oh, God. Oh, he got kicked off Celebrity Apprentice. Lectured by Donald Trump on
that's
getting your act straight.
There's a conversation.
Oh, God. Okay, let's do the Woody here, and then we can be done with our sports. Can you hold the Woody? Okay. Nice job. Wow. Yeah. Nice.
Carrie's
okay.
Getting a Woody right now.
Yes. Okay. All right. We need the drum roll, please.
Oh, yeah.
A little timpani.
Okay, thank you. Today's Woody goes to the Phoenix Suns.
Oh.
This year's train wreck of a season is mercifully coming to a fitting close. Out of the playoffs, out of gas, out of hope for the future. By the way, I've got two nice seats for the finale against Golden State. Sure to be a classic. If anyone has $5 they want to part with, let me know on email. Whose scrubs are worse in that game? I guess we'll find out. The MCSO executed a search warrant on Robin Lopez's hair and found two tickets to fish, a broken comb, a baggie with an unknown substance, but found, sadly, they found no game.
Oh.
The big game against Dallas Sunday turned out to be the big lame. How do you come into the biggest game of the year with your whole season on the line and give up 81 points in the first half? I've seen better defense on Judge Judy. It would be hard to score 81. You couldn't score 81 against Ray Charles and the Raylettes, much less an NBA team, but somehow the Mavericks did it. It's always a great idea, by the way, to leave a team's best shooter unguarded from the three-point line at key junctures. Hey, Jason Terry's been making those for his entire life. He's due to start missing. Why not now? So here we are. The season is over. Hard to close the gap when you lose 9 of 10 on the road down the stretch. Nice work. Clutch. So where do we go from here? Maybe we can reach out to North Korea. No, not for a mystery player, but to lob a missile our way and blow up this team. It's got to happen. Who needs to go? Let's start with Richie Rich, the owner who knows nothing about hoop. Okay, how about Steve Kerr, whose trade acumen took us from first place to out of the playoffs in a single year? Nice work. I mean, who's got an eye out for this franchise except Amari, who also needs to be traded? And I would say, I hate to say it, but I think Shaq deserves to play where he can win. Send him to Cleveland. He can still play, but probably not with this concoction. That doesn't leave much, but it gives us room to build, and we haven't got much now. What a meltdown in 1 year. We were the team nobody wanted to play and everybody wanted to watch. Now we'll spend Easter trying to forget that embarrassing egg we laid in Dallas. The Phoenix Suns get the Woody. Look how sad he is.
Yeah, he is. Woody's down.
Very sad. Poor Woody.
Yeah, but I saw that one coming.
Well, there you go. It's very rough.
No, because I'm in this ESPN Streak for Cash, the big thing they have.
You do what?
The ESPN what? Streak for Cash.
Come on, you don't
you
take your clothes off cash? And run for
no,
money.
No, I don't run. No,
what'd
I don't
you
run.
Make?
Wow.
No, I didn't make anything. The idea is you can
change.
Win
a, no, 100 bucks if you put your clothes back on.
You can win $1 million. Now all of a sudden they have your attention.
Huh?
The idea is, and they just changed the rules because they've been doing it like quarterly, and now it's just started April 1st and goes through the end of the year. The idea with the streak for cash is build one of the seven longest winning streaks, and you will be one of the seven
finalists.
What do
you finals. Do? Pick, you, so you pick games?
Yeah, they give you a slate of games, and they throw in some odd things. Like last November, believe it or not, one of the things you could have picked, who's going to win? John McCain or Barack Obama, for example. So they do
throw
some.
That was an easy pick.
Yeah, that was an easy pick.
Would have got that one. 1-0. Well,
that's the thing.
1-0, yeah.
It's like yesterday, obviously picked Dallas to beat Phoenix, and of course that happens.
That so wasn't obvious.
Yeah, it was. It was for me.
It wasn't for me. I was planning on a good game, but, very close.
But then I picked the Phillies to win at home last night, and Atlanta knocked them off, so my streak starts it all over.
Oh, so you go different sports and things like that?
Oh, yeah. There's curling and boxing and
golf. Curling.
That's good. That's great.
Soccer. I mean, there's usually about 10, 15.
It's very difficult to curling? Pick
anything like that. Okay, I'll give you an example.
You can pick whatever you want.
A bunch of guys and I, five or six years ago, we went to Vegas for March Madness. And of this group, there were 10 people, and I knew the least about college basketball as far as, I mean, I knew a couple of teams, but these guys are the type of guys who follow it, like, you know, religiously. They know everything, right? So everyone's making their bets. They're doing their own thing. And they said, hey, why don't we all throw in $20? We'll put down $200 on the craziest parlay. You know, the one you got to get 20 out of 20 and you win some, you know, 50 grand or something. And if you get 19 out of 20, you win something, and 18 out of 20, then that's about it. Okay, we'll do it just for laughs, right? So we spend the next 3 hours just arguing over all these picks, the 20 games, you know, we're going to pick, and, you know, which team are we picking? Of course, it's with the spread and everything. So we finally hammer out our 20, okay? Go to bed, get up the next day. First game that we have on our 20-game parlay, we lose. Well, that takes a little bit of the wind out of the, you know, a lot of the fun away. Second game, we lose. We lost all 20.
Wow.
You can't do that.
That's as hard as winning all 20.
Yeah,
you should get
absolutely.
Money for that.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's absolutely
DFL.
Insane that a group of 10 guys, again, mm-hmm. like I told you, they
can't
really
get one
knew
of them right.
They missed every friggin' game.
Was one of them Tony Clark?
No.
One of the games?
No, but you know what I did? So then they were like, oh, well, you know, this is on Thursday, right? So they're like, okay, we got all, you know, they're all betting like crazy to make up for whatever they lost on their own bets. And I took a different route. I said, obviously, and this is the lawyer, I think, the logical mind. Obviously, we know nothing about
hoop. We suck at this.
Yeah, we know nothing about hoop, about at least, you know. So I had followed Arizona State women's basketball and Coyotes hockey, and I bet on the Coyotes and women's basketball and made my money back.
Nice.
I was, you can't imagine the grief I took that, oh, here you are for March Madness and you're betting on hockey and the women's basketball game. But hey.
Well, that's the thing on this ESPN strike.
Yeah, so curling, what the heck?
Yeah, there's curling, soccer, all these different sports.
You always have a 50-50 chance in sports betting,
exactly.
too, which is interesting.
You know, except in soccer where you can get a draw, too. So that's the other thing.
Well, you can get your money back.
But where they were doing it before, you had to get up to 20. Whoever could build a streak of 27 wins would win the $1 million. And in this last quarter, somebody got to like 23 wins, and that was it, and they lost it.
Wow.
And so that you start back over. But now it's like...
23 wins, that's amazing.
That is me. My longest streak, I think.
What about losses? There were 20 losses in one day.
A bunch of guys in Detroit did that.
You couldn't do 20 losses in one day because there's only,
yeah,
like,
two
say,
days.
15 games.
Thursday and Friday.
But, yeah, give it a try. I mean, you would have fun with it, actually,
okay.
Grant.
All right.
You know,
okay.
My longest winning streak is 8.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's not bad, but.
Okay, we're going to move on to a couple of different topics here. And let's start with, Steve is a big Obama fan from mm-hmm. day one. We're all Obama fans because he's our president. But you were there at the beginning for this guy.
I was.
And what did you make of his trip to Europe? How do you think the president
very impressive.
Him, so? Okay.
Very impressive.
What were your impressions?
My impressions were that Europe and the rest of the world sense this is a new day in America. We are, once again, a citizen of the world, if you will. And George Bush just had so many negatives to all these other countries. Barack and Michelle Obama rocked Europe, quite frankly. Michelle is awesome. I mean, if you watched her, the video at that girls' school she went to in London, where she was emotional and the girls were just screaming. And she is such a role model for young women. It is just absolutely amazing. Barack Obama has got charisma. He has got, you know, everything you got going for him. And they're at the G20 summit. You know, he may not have gotten everything he wanted, which you never do.
No,
but
that's not his fault.
He showed
what you start with, and he's, you know, we're starting in a tough position.
Yeah, he showed statesmanship. He showed the ability to negotiate when he resolved that dispute between China and France,
was
which
good.
Was great. Then he goes to France with Sarkozy and Carla and you know, Barack and Michelle. I thought it was a great, great trip for Barack Obama. He proved he belongs on a world stage, and that's a tough stage to belong on. But you know what? As an American, he should have made you proud because he stood up for the country. He, you know, he did the town halls, which were great.
Now, what about if you listen to some of the jokers on Fox, they, you know, they're like, oh, he was over there dogging America. He was, you know, he said that we've been arrogant in the past and things like that, and that's inappropriate for the president. What do you think of that?
Absolutely not. Because if you listen to his full speech there,
right.
He said, we have been arrogant. We were.
Right.
I mean, the Fox, I mean, they're the same ones that promoted taking away French fries to make them freedom fries and things right. like that, the congressman from North Carolina. And the other thing, America has been a little bit arrogant. George Bush, you're either with us or you're against us.
Right.
That's arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I don't disagree with that. I agree. I think you got to look at the context, because he didn't just say that. He didn't go around, okay, here's my speech, America's arrogant.
Right.
Okay, what's next? No, it was, okay, we haven't done everything absolutely correctly. We need to be more inclusive. We need to be consulting our allies a lot more than we have in the past. Now, that's not to say, this is what some people's fear is, that we're going to join some sort of international cartel here, or we're going to start governing internationally rather than nationally. I don't see any evidence of that really from Barack Obama.
I don't either.
That's just
and he also took a swipe at the European country, saying there's been a lot of anti-American sentiment over there. What he did is he opened up the door to future cooperation with these. These are our allies. These are not our enemies. And he made the point to say, hey, we're going to be allies again. We're going to work together in common goals for the problems that face us. We're not always going to agree, but there's a different way of doing business now. And I found that very refreshing.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that's what you would expect from Obama. He's a smart guy. It's nice to have somebody over there who does have the brains and just understands what he's doing here. I mean, let's face it, Bush was a fish out of water over there.
Oh, absolutely.
He had more of an ignorant approach as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the guy, I don't even know if he'd ever been to Europe before he was president.
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
He's a joker. Rootin' tootin', goddamn motherfucker.
Yeah,
he's
just, he kind of was.
Yeah, he's shut up.
Yeah, you're either with us or you're against us. Barack Obama,
is a little more sophisticated.
A little more sophisticated, and he's working with, like, say, France. You can have disagreements with them. They're still our ally. They're not our enemy. We're not at war with France or England or something like that. So I think just, for his first foreign trip, his big European trip, it was great.
Anybody who can give the Queen a video iPod and get away with it is awesome in my book.
Yeah, I don't know about that iPod thing. That, to me, there's one I give him a kind of a demerit on, and I don't know about his gift-giving skills.
But I had forgotten the one great story about the Queen, because she's met, virtually every American president.
She really liked Michelle Obama.
She hugged
her.
They predicted she would.
It's great.
They would get along.
Yeah, but I had forgotten about this. When they did a recap of the Queen meeting American presidents, there was the one, was it with Bush or Clinton, where she did the speech in Washington where it was just the hat peering over the microphone.
Right, right,
short. But the one I had forgotten was when she met Jerry Ford and they danced at the White House. Do you remember the song they played?
No.
The Lady is a Tramp.
Nice. That's
bad
not
choice
good.
On a band.
Bad choice on
yeah,
song.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Do you step on her feet and break them both too?
No.
When we used to have these border conferences with the, it'd be the four border state AGs and the many Mexican border AGs, and we'd have them a couple times a year, and one in the United States and one down there. And it was a very interesting experience. They were always accompanied by their nieces. We found out. Seriously, we're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Anyway,
we'll be sharing a room.
Yeah, the AG from Texas, Dan Morales, wanted to have the big session. He wanted to have it in San Antonio, which is fine. And then he wanted to have the big meeting where we all come together and give a joint announcement or whatever at the Alamo.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, I'm not some Texas. You're the guy from Texas.
You ought to know.
But that wasn't like a real come together moment, I didn't think, He was dead serious, too.
Yeah.
And so he tried to take them over to the Alamo, and they didn't want to go to the Alamo. And I was like, well, I think you would. Didn't they win at the Alamo? Thought they did. So maybe
go to the Alamo Dome, not the Alamo, baby. But
no, he wanted to go to the Alamo, so we had to, walk around over there, and some of them boycotted because it's bad. Anyway, okay, we have something that happened today. I'm not going to go into great detail because I'm involved in this case, so I don't want to. But we've had this really unbelievable situation going on in Maricopa County, where the county attorney indicted one of the members of the Board of Supervisors, Don Stapley, and then just all hell's broken loose, and the county supervisors have completely broken away from the county attorney. They formed their own legal department, doing the whole everything civil they've been doing themselves. The county attorney and the sheriff's office then have started to investigate virtually everybody who works for the county, and certainly at a high level. I mean, literally, supervisors, the managers, the secretaries. They've served search warrants on offices down there. I mean, it has just been a mess here. And so then I represent Wolfswinkles, who is a prominent East Valley family, because they're offices were searched by the sheriff consequent to this Stapley case, trying to show that there was some sort of bribery or something going on, which there is absolutely zero evidence of. They didn't have evidence before, and then they did this huge search, and they still found nothing because there isn't anything to find. So we're fighting that and trying to rectify that. And in the meantime, a judge found that they had a conflict of interest because they had been giving advice to Stapley and others on how to fill out these forms and how to recuse yourself and not recuse yourself. And so it's been a big mess. And today, the county attorney put up the white flag to some extent, I guess, and took himself off of these cases and gave them to the Yavapai County Attorney, who is Sheila Polk, who used to work at the Attorney General's office, worked for me over there for many years. She's a fine prosecutor. So that's very interesting that after all of this, I mean, if you would have done that on day one, you could have probably avoided all of this stuff, but for whatever reason, they waited until now, and now it's gone to there. So the question, and he says he would like to mediate all his disputes with the supervisors and see if we can't all...
Does this make you long for the days of Rick Romley?
Well, no, it doesn't. but, you know, Romley has been in the act, too, because the supervisors hired him to advise them,
right,
which really hacked off the sheriff, who is their mortal enemies.
Are there any adults down there at the county right now?
Right now?
It's a big mess, and there's, I think there's blame to go all around, but... I mean, what do you think? Is this a good move, even if it's late, for Thomas to finally do this? Or does it show weakness and maybe
weakness.
people will think, well, you were wrong all along, probably.
Probably that.
You think so?
Knowing him.
Mm-hmm. You know, my sense is people just kind of look at the whole county law enforcement, kind of think, what's going on?
What do they
there?
Do anyway?
Well, yeah, what do they know? Right. And I got to be honest with you, Grant, I'm not sure this is an issue that really resonates with the people.
Right.
I mean, Sheriff Joe gets his big, you know, I'm going to round up immigrants, and woohoo,
right.
go Joe.
He's still very popular.
Still very popular, and, you know, Thomas certainly is, you know, won re-election, and, you know, he's popular with what he's been doing, but I don't know this kind of pissing match with the county board over Don Stapley. It really resonates with people. It's like inside baseball, and the average citizen can't get it. The average citizen understands you're going to raise my taxes.
Right.
The average citizen understands, you know, you're not protecting me on the streets. That's the thing, and this really isn't it. It's kind of like he said, she said.
Okay, but for us non-average citizens who do know what's going on, how does this strike you for? Is this going to, the county attorney, it's been rumored that he would like to run for attorney general or run for governor.
Right.
If the current governor.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Next year. So does this allow him to get enough distance to this? That even if the case falls apart, someone else handled it and all that, or will this come back to bite him?
I think it will be an issue if he runs for statewide office next year. I mean, that AG's race is going to be interesting on both the Republican and Democratic side. And what's going to be interesting is, you know,
of course, Jan Brewer is presumably
going to run for re-election, but if she doesn't, your governor's race, your AG's race, those are going to be very, very interesting.
Sure.
You know, I'm assuming Ken Bennett's probably going to run for re-election as Secretary of State. I don't know who the Democrats will put up. But Dean Martin, your old buddy, is he term limited this time? I think he is.
He probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's going to figure out something to do. Because these so-called conservatives, they're very anti-government except for their own paycheck. So they never go away. They never retire. I mean, this is why no one could ever... believe that I would just, you know, serve 8 years, still have good numbers, and actually leave.
Yeah.
Because they never leave. Then they run, you know, if they're in the House, they run for the Senate. And then they go back to the House, or they run for Secretary of State, or then they at the end of it all, they run for JP and make, like, you know, $95,000, and then their pension's based on that. But we hate the government.
Right. Well, and how about state lawmakers, because of the term limit situation, they bounce from the House to
the
Senate, from the
that.
Senate back to the House.
I was one of the guys behind term limits, and that's just a sneaky little deal. That wasn't the idea, that you could go back and forth. No. So, you know, at some point in time, we'll have to fix that, I think.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Well, we'll see how this all plays out. Carrie, we didn't talk about you over the weekend, and there were a couple things that happened. First, there was a lot of action Friday night, I will say, in the Valley. If you think this is sleepy little Phoenix like it used to be, I'll just point out that there was a big crowd at the Diamondback game. Mm-hmm. There was a full house at the Suns game right next door.
Why, we don't know.
And they actually had a great game. Well, they were still in it at that point in time. There was a Tempe Music Festival with you know, a ton of people out there for Kid Rock and a bunch of people out there. Mesa Amphitheater had Fall Out Boy. Country Thunder out in wherever it is now, Florence or something.
Bruce Springsteen.
Well, I'm getting to that, yeah. But Country Thunder, absolutely huge audience out there. Springsteen at the arena, Glendale Arena, sells out. That's pretty amazing.
That is.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's just on the music
scene.
I was
at none of them.
None of you went to any of those. Didn't go to Fall Out Boy?
I did not, no. Oh. But I did watch all the people riding light rail going to all the different events.
Yeah,
so a lot of people had
it. Nice.
You know, all the, and I've been a big proponent of light rail for all along, and I would like to see it expanded. All the naysayers, the negative people, oh, it's going to fail. Nobody's going to ride
it. No, it's doing
well. It's doing very well. And
it's
people,
packed.
There is an alternative. There's a difference from riding a train versus riding a bus. And it's people have found it slick, it's sleek, it's, you know, works well.
Buses are smelly. I've pointed that out many times. Buses smell.
Well, the difference is with
the
bus.
That's the inside of the bus.
It's usually the passenger next to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Bus here in the Valley, but the difference is when a bus pulls up to like a bus stop, you know, like at Central and Indian School, and they got 20 people to go on, it takes a long time to board those 20 people.
Right.
With the light rails, with the double doors and all the cars,
fast,
people move in, move out, they're not, you know, so it worked very well. And I credit Valley Metro for running the trains late on the weekend nights when they do have these big events to move people in and out. And with the Diamondbacks games in particular, even if there's an extra inning game, they're going to be able to run.
Well, hopefully they'll stay on that. Absolutely ludicrous if you get down there to game
can't
and
get
then
back.
Can't, oh,
get
you can't get back.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the last time you would ride it, you know.
But, have you ridden it yet, Grant?
I have. I rode it to a Suns game. It was great. Took my daughter, and we had a good time. She still talks about it, riding the train.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. Now, I went to Springsteen. And I want to report back on Springsteen that he was great. He was absolutely great. Now, I was lucky enough, someone invited me to sit in a box, and so I had this dilemma because I just, you know, the box is that experience, you know.
You're away.
You're a ways away, and, you don't know who's going to be in the box, and it's Springsteen. If it was, I would have no problems whatsoever if it was, I don't know, and Neil Diamond or, you know, someone I don't, frankly, Elton John or Billy Joel, who I don't really care about. People like that, fine. Yeah, maybe I want to see him. So sitting in the box, that's fine. Springsteen, shit. I mean, this is the real deal. I want to be part of the, this is it. You want to be into it, you know. But I cheaped out. I took the free tickets and went to the suite.
In the end,
did you go into
wins.
The right suite?
I did go to the right suite this time.
Well, that's good.
Didn't go to the wrong one. They had nice food and all that. Now, the only, and it was great. Everybody was great. But the interesting thing was, I would say there were probably at least a half a dozen cops. You know, they weren't on duty. They're high-ranking police officers, law enforcement people. They were part of the crowd. And Randy Pollin, who's the chairman of the Republican Party, he was there.
He's a Springsteen guy?
I don't know, but he was there. And so I'm just saying, and it's nothing, those guys are great, and some of them are good friends of mine, but let's party with the cops and the head of the Republican Party. I mean, it was freaking
the cops, maybe.
No.
Oh, no.
No, no. Right. What? At a rock concert?
Better than Randy Pollin.
No, and he, you know, give him credit for being there. I mean, that was fine. And I think he's going to join us in the next week or so.
Who, Springsteen or Randy Pollin?
Randy Pollin. Talk about the state of the Republican Party.
It's not.
No, I give him credit for being there, but I don't know. You just say, you know, does that sound like a let's rock on? This is what it's come to now? I don't think so.
Oh, by the way, Seth just
But I did go back down there and saw the last part of the concert by the stage.
There was another big event, though, over the weekend, Friday, the First Fridays, which have become very big in Phoenix.
First Fridays have been big for a long time. Yeah.
Right, but they seem like they're getting bigger and bigger.
It's a huge deal downtown. Yeah, it's fantastic. If you haven't gone to First Friday, just go downtown, and it's like everywhere. There's all sorts of, there's music and lots of art and people selling stuff.
You can watch people ride the train.
You watch people ride the train. What's refreshing about this is I've been out here 20 years. I came out here in 89. You're a lifer out here, Grant. We both remember when nobody would be in downtown Phoenix after 5 p.m. And it all started with Jerry in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I give Jerry Colangelo all the credit in the world. And to those of you who disliked him when he owned the Suns, how would you like to have him back right now?
Yeah, really.
Jerry is one of the best people ever for this city.
No doubt. Well, and also you've had city councils and mayors, and Phil Gordon in particular, I think, has been just really supportive of the little guy down there and these First Fridays and these sort of things. Yeah, I think he gets it, and you know, so yeah, it's all
and good. I credit Skipper Imza too, because he backed the light rail. He had the vision to say do it. And now how many cities would like to have it? I mean, it's got to run out to Glendale, out to the arena and the stadium and stuff out there.
By the way, the arena, I mean, the whole Glendale area out there, on a night when there's an event like that, I mean, that place is a madhouse. There, however many people were inside the arena, there had to be another 5,000 who didn't go in, but they were at the restaurants and all that.
I went to the NCAA out there. Wow, it was awesome. Of course, my team won. By the way, I think my team went farther than anybody else's team.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I think you did good. Thank you.
Was and your team
like
what?
I had
Missouri?
Anything to do it? Yeah.
I picked North Carolina, I think. How did they do?
Yeah, you did all right. But it was great. But the two games, I sat through both those games, and then there was a Coyote game going on, and that whole area was just going crazy.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's a hot spot.
You know, I was part of that deal there with Steve Ellman. I was representing him, and my job was to find some place to put this arena.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was going to be in Scottsdale, and I had a few meetings there. I came back and said, it ain't going to be in Scottsdale. And it had been passed by the voters twice, but they had zero interest. It was very obvious that they did not want it there. So we started, you know, surreptitiously looking around, and Glendale came to the table, and Glendale really didn't believe that we would ever put it out there. It was a very interesting conversation with the guy who's now the city manager, the assistant city manager. He called me up and said, look, we just kind of think you're just playing. You guys are going to be playing us off Scottsdale or something like that. And I said, no, that's not the case. And he said, and then he called me back, you know, a couple days later. He said, the mayor and council say that if you will give us your word that if we make the right deal, that this thing could go to Glendale, then we're going to get in the game here. And I said, I don't have to ask you, buddy. You got my word. If we make the right deal, which is the key, then we'll go to Glendale. Now, when they first came out and then presented to us, they had it in downtown Glendale. And the ingress and egress would be off Grand Avenue. It was a real non-starter. So we had no interest in that. And so then, but they had an old shopping center there that needed to be redone. So then we came up with the idea, well, the 101 is already getting ready to be built there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't out there. There was absolutely nothing out there. If we could put the arena on the 101 and then we'll go redo that shopping center for you as part of the package, what about that? And you know, of course, if I had any brains, I would have gone and bought some land out there around where we were talking about, but that didn't seem like that would be appropriate. But literally, where that is, and then, of course, then the football stadium followed several years later. But there was absolutely nothing there, and and that's how it happened. I mean, it happened because we knew we had to go somewhere, or else the team was going to go to Portland or somewhere. And and it seemed to make sense off the 101. And as far as ingress egress, it really does work out there. It's way out there. But
right. All the guys that I was with are from other parts of the country, and they were blown away. They
yeah,
said,
isn't
man,
that cool?
This is, oh yeah. It's, it was, of course, it also helped that it was 75 degrees.
Sure,
and sun.
Right.
We're standing outside at the Fox Sports Grill, going, wow, this is
which closed. Sweet. I heard.
Yeah, it did close.
That one out there.
Yeah.
Yes, it just closed right after that.
You know what?
And
I ran up a tab and walked.
Didn't pay.
God, I feel bad now.
Yeah. They ran out of beer. They had to close.
At the same day, Pink Taco closed.
Wow.
In Scottsdale.
Yeah,
as far as I know, that's been
closed
for years.
I had my quote there that we got a little grief about. It said that's the first time that a Pink Taco has ever known to have been closed in Scottsdale.
absolutely horrible.
Now I don't know what that meant. People took it the wrong way.
I think so.
It's like this Woody thing.
It's factually accurate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the first time. So I didn't get that. Yeah, it did. Both of those closed.
Wow.
Hey, anyway, credit to Glendale. I'm going to say, since we're talking about that, the mayor, Lane Scruggs, out there. I have to admit, when I was AG, I didn't pay that much attention necessarily to mayors because I didn't really deal with them that much. Since I've been, out and doing, some of these projects and doing different things, it makes a difference who the mayor of the town is.
Mm-hmm.
I think Phoenix has an outstanding mayor. Clearly Glendale. I think Mesa does now. A lot of cities do. I don't want to go naming all the cities. But the fact that Scruggs was the mayor of Glendale, it would not have happened. She provided the leadership. It was a tough, tough go. She brought the council along. Credit to the council for coming along. And then the other person, obviously, Steve Ellman, who really put it all. He had some major cojones there. He put it all out and more on this concept of Westgate out there that could work, right. And it's been a hell of a deal. And then of course Jerry Moy stepped up, and you know now he's got the team. Unfortunately, for him.
Yeah, and Scottsdale, bite the bullet and get light rail.
Yeah,
run it up and down Scottsdale Road. It would be a huge success.
It would be great
if they just put a Lexus emblem on every car. On every one of the light rail things,
then it would be
more likely.
But just imagine if they had the light rail running for like Scottsdale Fashion Square is through downtown.
Right?
Down to
why not? Let's get with the program.
You know, it's like,
hey, I think.
Plus all those, you know, girls hanging out in the Scottsdale clubs, getting liquored up, getting on the light rail.
Well, oh yeah, you'd that, be right.
You could join driving.
You could join the 8 foot club. You got the Mile High Club.
You would wait all night to use that app. Yes,
nice word. Okay,
I'm not sure. And I had to wait.
Do you think that's? Is that a show?
That's a show.
Is that a show?
That's a show.
That's a show.
All right. See ya.